Growing up, Thanksgiving was one of my favorite holidays. Now, quite honestly, it was mostly because of the food. All the wonderful food. I love turkey. People will ask, dark meat or white meat? And I'll say, yes, please, yes, please. Dressing. My mother's and her mother's and grandmother's before her, their dressing was made with biscuits and cornbread. And Kate and I actually can make it, and it's yummy. There's ham. Ooh, yummy ham. Two kinds of potatoes, mashed and sweet. Corn, a mix of both whole and cream together with some spice in it, some seasoning in it, some Southwest in it. Wow, yeah. Fruit salad with apple and oranges and walnuts and grapes and celery and all chopped up with whipped cream and put in the fridge. Oh, delicious. I'm making myself hungry right now. And then there are the desserts.
Preach it, brother.
And then there are the desserts. Apple pie. Pecan pie, or up here, do y'all say pecan or pecan?
Pecan.
Thank you. Pound cake. Chocolate cake. I'd never met a chocolate I didn't like. Ooh. And, of course, with all of that, hot coffee with a bit of vanilla ice cream in it. Yum. I loved Thanksgiving. And not just because of the food, my family would come from all over. My dad's father and stepmother, they'd come up from Belton, Texas. My mother's mother would come over from there in Dallas. Sometimes my dad's nephew, Vance, would join us. My mom's sister, Anne, would come. Everybody would come over. We would cram 5 extra chairs around a dining room table that could only handle 6. We'd load the table up with so much food that that big wooden table would be groaning under the weight. And then we'd gather in. Usually we'd eat right after the game on TV would be over with. Yeah, gotta watch the Cowboys. Lose, usually. And then we'd eat and talk and eat and talk and eat and talk. My granddad told tall tales about the past, stories about people long dead 50, 60, 70 years ago, memories of Aunt Witchy hosting Huey Long at the Minden Hotel one Thanksgiving. All those conversations often led to politics, Texas politics, which is always a mess, Louisiana politics that can be somewhat scandalous at times, still today, and national politics. And boy, things haven't changed there either. Then there were the disagreements. My mother's mother, we called Mimi, disagreeing with my granddaddy Neil. My dad and my brother arguing about the care and feeding of motorcycle engines. The year I found out that I actually had the guts to challenge my dad's stepmother, Grandmother May, on some fine topic of Christian theology and faith, something she considered herself the expert authority on. I don't remember what the disagreement was about, frankly, but we talked about that disagreement for at least 20 years afterwards, long after she had been promoted to heaven. Oh, it was wonderful. As I began growing up, I noticed something. Mother almost never got to eat, or never ate much at least, while everybody else was eating. And you all know why. She was always getting up to go get stuff out of the kitchen. This, that, or the other that had been forgotten, that someone would want. Refilling glasses. Bringing extra biscuits. I don't think there was a single year in 15 or 20 years that my mother was actually able to sit and eat the whole meal with the family. But that didn't seem to matter to her. She loved being the host. She loved gathering in her family and presiding. And then there was the cleanup. I was on the cleanup crew. I never helped with the cooking. I'd burn water so they would shoo me out of the room. But cleaning up, that I could do. That I was actually really good at. Still am today, right, Kate? He nods his head. Good. Thank you. I felt like I needed to have a forklift to get up from the table, but once you got moving, boy, cleaning up was a good way to get your body moving again. And the conversation continued in the kitchen while doing all of the cleaning, and it was hilarious as Mom, who was finally getting to finish her meal, while directing my dad and myself and several others to put dishes away and where they were supposed to go, and she's here pouring herself an extra glass of wine or two or three and sharing her opinions about what we were talking about. Boy, that was fun. Thanksgiving meals. The family gathered together. The conversations, yes, even the arguments, sometimes especially the arguments. They could be healing times. They could be challenging times. They could be hilarious times. They could be aggravating times, even painful times. But they were all wonderful times, and I am thankful for them. Most of us can think of similar personal experiences, be they with family or friends or community of faith like this one. Times for which we are thankful, relationships which have fed us, memories which help us to heal, recollections that center us, remind us that we are loved, we belong, we matter, and that even decades later, we are remembered. But do we give thanks for them? Do we give thanks for the wonderful gifts we have received in our families, in our communities, in our church? Do we pause to say thank you? And if not, why not? That was Jesus' question. That's what he was asking about the 9 lepers who went off after being healed. Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this one foreigner? Now, true, Jesus had told them to go and show themselves to the priests that they had been healed to confirm their healing. And they were probably going to do that. At least I hope they were going to do that. That's what Jesus told them to do. But would have taken them just a few seconds, really? It wouldn't have taken any time at all to stop and say, thank you, Jesus, for the healing. The Samaritan was an outsider. The Samaritans were sort of the half-cousins of the Jewish people, the descendants of the remnants of the northern kingdom of Israel who intermarried with the immigrants that were imported by the Assyrians from Urartu back in 700 BC. They worshipped Yahweh Elohim, but they didn't go to the temple. They weren't invited. They weren't welcomed into the temple in Jerusalem. They had a version of the Torah, but they lacked the writings and the prophets and the wisdom literature. There was a great deal of animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. They didn't like each other at all. The Samaritans were considered outsiders, foreigners in their own lands, unclean, people to be avoided, kept at arm's length or beyond. Which is why it's interesting that they repeatedly show up in Jesus' parables and in his ministry. And as in the case today, they're often the heroes of the stories. 9 of the 10 lepers were good Jews, but none of them came back to thank Jesus, the ingrates. The one leper who came back to thank Jesus for the healing, for being made well, for being made whole, was a Samaritan, a foreigner. But because of his faith, he became part of God's family that day. He was welcomed and made whole. Jesus said, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Notice the focus on faith here. It's in stark contrast to the person's identity as a Samaritan. Faith in a Samaritan? But they're foreigners. They're outsiders. They're not part of our religious family. Oh, but this one has faith. This one responded to the grace received in healing. This one who was healed, he and only he came back to thank Jesus for the healing. His actions of faith make it clear that God has accepted him into the family, even where the good religious people wouldn't or couldn't. That's one of those biblical themes that a lot of people these days want to ignore. Faith breaks down barriers, opens doors, and lets all sorts of people come in to congregate at the Lord's table. Sometimes even especially those that we, good religious folk, wouldn't let in. Do we thank Jesus for our healings, for our blessings, for all that we have received in family, friends, loved ones, community, church, faith? Well, Greg, sometimes it's not always that great. Families can be difficult. The church can be difficult. Church people can be difficult. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Likewise, I can think of a lot of things that happened around our Thanksgiving table that I'd rather forget. Not all of my memories are great memories. Like the time my brother outed me to my grandparents. It was 1981. I had been going to reparative therapy sessions for, 6 months, twice a week. And that Friday I was supposed to go on a group weekend retreat, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I wouldn't be home on Saturday to say goodbye to see my grandparents off. So I was trying to explain why. I was trying to avoid it. And my brother told them why. I didn't want to go, but I didn't have a choice. I always sit in the back end of the dining room where it's almost impossible to get out unless three or four people get up and get out of the way. I was trapped that day, but I managed to get out. I went under the table, between people's feet, making sure to stomp on my brothers as I went by him, and was out of there, and I didn't come back that day. Not all memories are great ones. Not all experiences are wonderful. Not all of the memories are ones I like to dwell on. But I'm still thankful for the amazing privilege of having them, of being from a family, of knowing that I belonged in a family that loved me, cared for me, didn't always do the right thing for me, but loved me still and accepted me. Not everyone has that privilege. And that's something that a family of faith like this one, like a church, can help to repair, can help to heal. Do we give thanks for what we have received? For the wonderful gifts we have received? Are we like the Samaritan who came back and threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him for the healing? In the Greek New Testament, the word for thanksgiving or being grateful is eucharistia. We use the word most frequently in connection with Holy Communion. The Lord's Supper, the table of the Lord, is the Eucharist, the thanksgiving to God for the grace we have received and are receiving in partaking at God's table of plenty, at the table of Christ's presence. We are a people of the Eucharist, of Christ's great thanksgiving. We are a people of grace giving. Do we give grace? Do we give thanks? Do we share grace? Do we share thanks? How do we give thanks? I want you to prayerfully consider that question today and this week. When you gather with your families and your friends and your community for a time of fellowship, for a time of togetherness, for a time of family, ask yourself this question. How do we give thanks? How should we be giving thanks to God for the amazing gifts we have received, for the amazing opportunity to be part of a family that loves, embraces, encourages, prays for, shares and gives, counsels and loves? Let us share grace and thanksgiving this year and always. Let us share grace and thanksgiving. Let us be a grace-giving, thanksgiving people with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say,
in your presence.